Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shalom, dear brothers and sisters, it is good for us to be together under the sound of the Word of God, and I would like you, if you have your Bible with you, to open at this ministry meeting to the third chapter of the Gospel of John, Yohanan, chapter 3. And today I would like to read the first 13 verses of John chapter 3. I'm reading now John chapter 3 verses 1 to 13. And we read, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, or Nakdimon, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Yeshua by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." And I'm stopping with the reading of the first 13 verses of Yohanan, John, chapter 3. Beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, John, chapter 3, is an extremely beautiful chapter in which the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, our Mashiach, our Savior, is presented here in this third chapter as a teacher, more in Hebrew, Rabbi, more, as a bridegroom, and also as a witness to give a testimony to who he is and to the God of Israel. So he is presented in this third chapter as a teacher, as a bridegroom, and as a witness. Teacher, more, Rabbi. Bridegroom, Chatan. witness es ed, to give edut, to give testimony. And this is a beautiful chapter, John chapter 3. Let us first of all just bear in mind that when the Lord Jesus the Messiah is being presented here by John the Apostle, Yohanan, the Apostle, HaShaliach, the reason that Yohanan gave us this fourth gospel, the gospel of John, is simply because, and notice John chapter 20 and verse 31, these are written. In other words, the gospel of John, the gospel of Yohanan, the things that are written in the gospel of John, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus, that Yeshua, is the Christ, is the Mashiach, and he doesn't stop there, the Son of God. That Mashiach is none else but the Son of God, God the Son. And secondly, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And you shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name of Jesus, the name of the Hebrew name Yeshua, means Jehovah the Savior. So the whole Gospel of John, beloved brothers and sisters, was written for this express purpose. To present before the readers, before you, before me, before everyone that read in the last 2,000 years this Gospel of Yohanan, the Gospel of John, to present before us the God-man, the Creator God who entered into this world through the person of the Son and was born to the Virgin Miriam and became a man here in this world. It became the Mashiach, the promised Messiah. And how he became the Messiah, he had to go to die on a Roman cross, to shed his precious blood, to die, to be buried, to rise again, to be ascended to heaven. And he is now seated at God's right hand as the glorified Messiah. He finished the work of redemption, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the reason that the Gospel of Yohanan was written in addition to the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke. We have four Gospels. Matthew presents him as the King of Israel. Mark presents the Lord Jesus the Messiah as the servant of the Lord. Luke presents the Lord Yeshua the Messiah as the perfect man. And Yohanan John presents the person of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, as the eternal Son of God, who became a man in order to provide redemption for humanity. Well, we've just finished chapter 2. At the end of the second chapter, we discovered that the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, did not commit himself unto those that believe in the miracles that he have done, because they came to him only because he was a miracle worker. A miracle worker. You remember what we read in chapter 2, in verse 23, 24, and 25, as we concluded the second chapter? Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, Pesach, in the feast day, many believed on his name. When they saw the miracles which he did, but Yeshua did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of men, for he knew what was in men. In other words, he knows what is in your heart, he knows what is in my heart. He knows what is in men, he knows everything about each individual today in this world. Why? Because he is the Son of God, God the Son. So as we move along now, beloved brothers and sisters, as the Lord Yeshua the Messiah was there in the city of Jerusalem, the feast of Passover was still there in the second chapter, at the end of the chapter. He cleansed the temple, if you remember, in the end of the second chapter of the Gospel of John. Then we are introduced now in chapter 3 to a man by the name of Nakdimon in Hebrew, Nicodemus, who was a ruler of our own Jewish people. In other words, he was a Pharisee, Parush. To remind you that the word Parush or Pharisee does not have a bad connotation. It means that he was one of those that have interpreted or have studied the scriptures, and they were mefarshim, they were expounding, explaining. But by the time Yeshua the Messiah came, things have gone from bad to worse. And the interpretation or the explanation of the Word of God have gone further and further and further from that which God had given our forefathers in the Hebrew Scriptures, and it became more, you might say, rabbinical teaching rather than biblical teaching that God had given to the people of Israel. And so, we can see now how he searched the heart of this man by the name of Nakdimon, a ruler of the people of Israel, of the Jewish people. We read the first 13 verses, but I would like to mention that from verse 1 to verse 21, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, presents himself as a teacher, as a rabbi, as a one that is explaining and expounding and helping the people to understand the way of salvation, the new birth, the necessity of becoming children of God by faith, this new birth. So as a teacher, he presenting in these first 21 verses, the mystery of the new birth. And you notice that as we are here reading these texts, we find out that he, as a teacher, he illustrates to the Nakdimon, the ruler of the Jewish people, he illustrates the new birth. You might say, I should say, even the way of salvation. Number one, he uses the natural birth to compare it with the spiritual birth. And then he used the natural wind, verses 8 to 13, to illustrate the Spirit of God working in the heart of a man to give him salvation. And then he continued to illustrate in verses 14 to 18, the illustration of the serpent on the pole in Israel's history to illustrate the necessity of the Messiah to die in order to provide salvation for those who will trust in him. And the fourth illustration, using the comparison between light and darkness to show us why man is in darkness and he needs to turn towards the light. So there are four illustrations that Yeshua is using here in this chapter 3 of John, verses 1 to 21. Birth, wind, serpent, and light and darkness. And so let's go, first of all, into the first 13 verses of this third chapter, dealing with the explanation that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is presenting before Nakdimon, a ruler of the Jewish people. And so, first of all, you notice that we find out in verse 1, you notice that, very interesting, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, this is very interesting because if you remember, the apostle Shaul, Paul, he himself was a Pharisee himself who turned to faith in the Lord Yeshua Jesus the Messiah. In fact, many Pharisees in the early days of the church have become believers in the Lord Yeshua Jesus the Messiah. You remember what the apostle Paul Shaul said of himself when he was presenting before the Philippians his background. He said to them in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrew. As touching the law, in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, I was a Pharisee. A Pharisee, a Parush. A Parush simply means one that was a teacher of the Word of God, expounder, and one who explained the scripture to the people of Israel. And it became like a sect, of course, as I mentioned, that have gone further and further and created their own rules, their own ways of expounding the scripture, which have caused them to be blinded to the Messiah, sheep of Yeshua, when he came at his first coming. And so there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Notice that the scripture is very clearly calling him a ruler of the Jews. Notice that apparently, as you find out his name, Nicodemus, he is found three times, this man by the name of Nicodemus, is found three times mentioned in the Gospel of John. Here in John chapter 3, in that first part, discussing and learning from the Lord Jesus, we find him in chapter 7 and verse 50 there. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, does our Lord judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? In other words, he was defending privately, you might say, the person of the Lord without to let anyone know that he became actually a believer in the Lord Jesus the Messiah. We also find him there by the cross in John chapter 19 in verse 39. You notice there when the Lord was crucified in verse 39, he said, there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. In other words, very interesting. Here he came to the Lord Jesus by night, and later on, you might say he was in the twilight. And finally, in John 19, he was in the light, caring for the body of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. But here's the beginning of the event that occurred in Jerusalem with that man by the name of Nicodemus. Well, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And what does he do? Notice that. In verse 2, he came to Yeshua by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he coming to the Lord, and notice the expression here, he come to Yeshua by night. Now why does he come by night? Because he was afraid publicly to recognize before all the Pharisees as a ruler of our Jewish people. He was afraid to let everyone know that he was attracted to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, that he could see that there was something special about this man by the name of Jesus. So he's coming by night. He's coming by night. And so coming by night suggests, beloved friend, that he was really afraid. And isn't it true? How many people would love to come to know the Lord, but they are afraid of the consequence of what it will cost them if they will identify with Yeshua Jesus, the Messiah? They know the religious system does not help them. They know that they are sinners by nature. They know that all the rules they seek to keep does not help them with the true and living God. They know in their hearts that they are not right with God. Just like you and I, my dear friend, we know very, very well that we have sinned before a living God. And it doesn't matter what we're going to do, nothing will avail to make things right with God. We have to come to God on the basis of who He is and what He is instructing men concerning the way to approach Him. So He comes to Yeshua by night, and He notices what He says to him. First of all, He called him Rabbi. Interesting, because according to verse 1, He was a ruler of the Jews. He was much more than just an ordinary Pharisee, ordinary Parush. He was a ruler of the Jewish people. He came to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who must have been much younger than him. He's coming and He's calling him Rabbi. Rabbi, teacher. We know that you are a teacher come from God. We know it. We can see it. It is evident in the way that you behave, in the teaching that you teach, in the mannerism that you present yourself. We can definitely see that you are one that comes from God. What an amazing description when He come to Yeshua by night and He telling this unto him. By the way, you notice He used the expression Rabbi, first of all, and then He used the word, the expression, we know. We know. He doesn't say, I know. But we know, because there were others who knew that. There were others who recognized that Yeshua was indeed a man that came from God. Remember, they must have heard already John, Yohanan, the baptizer, who said in chapter 1, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. They must have observed that all Jerusalem and Judea went down to Yohanan Amadbil, John the baptizer in the Jordan River, being baptized by him, and that finally when Yeshua came, that Yeshua was baptized by Yohanan Amadbil, the baptism identifying with the Jewish remnant who wanted to trust in him and prepare themselves for the way of the Lord. And they must have heard that, they have seen it, they have seen how the people have followed him, they have already have seen, Nicodemus and others have seen how he cleansed the temple. And if you remember in chapter 2, he said, Take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. It was in the temple in Jerusalem. Nicodemus and the others, which he used the word we, they could see it, they could observe them, and many in their hearts knew that he was one that came from God. But he was afraid. As many of us today have experienced that fear of consequences. Can you imagine a ruler and a leader, a rabbi of rabbis, Rabban Nicodemus would come and acknowledge that Yeshua is indeed the Messiah come from God? Imagine the consequence. Imagine the price that one has to pay. And not only to pay because of opposition from others, but to lose your place, to lose your position, to lose all that which you have gained, you might say, in your life, but to lose it in order to follow the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So that was a tremendous, tremendous decision making to come to Yeshua Jesus by night. And as I mentioned earlier, in chapter 7 he came by twilight, and in chapter 19 he came by daylight. So here is by night, in chapter 7 by twilight, in chapter 19 by light, there was a progress in the life of Nakdimon during those 3.5 years of Yeshua's public ministry among the people of Israel. And so we read that he came to him by night and he said, We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now there was a difference between Nicodemus in chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 and the others who believe on the Lord Jesus, because you notice he says, no man can do these miracles. Verse 2. In the second chapter, the previous chapter, it says many believe on him because they saw the miracles which he did. But the difference between the many in the end of chapter 2 and this single one in the beginning of chapter 3 is simply this. They came to him, they believe on him because of the miracles that he did, but they didn't believe on him as unto salvation. But here come a man by the name of Nicodemus, whose heart was touched. And God was wooing him and drawing him to himself. And you can see how slowly but surely he received the explanation from the Lord. You yourself, and I myself, didn't know all things immediately when we heard about Yeshua the Messiah. We needed the Spirit of God to draw us unto the Lord and slowly explaining to us the ways of salvation until we came to a point where we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I accept Yeshua, Jesus, as my Lord and my Mashiach, my Messiah. But we didn't accept him immediately. It was the Lord is working in our hearts, wooing us, you might say, bringing us to the wit's end to say, I cannot on my own be right with God. I need the person of the Lord Jesus the Messiah. And so, he says, no man can do these miracles. And he adds that you do it except God be with him. He could sense. He realized in his own heart, just like others, as he says, we. But the others didn't come at this point of time. He came on his own. We realize that you are sent from God. We realize that God is with you because no man can do what you did and what you do except God be with him. Now notice how the Lord is answering Nicodemus. In verse 3, Yeshua responds to Nicodemus. He tells Nicodemus that the salvation, that to be right with God, is not based upon achievement that you have here in this world through the natural physical birth, but salvation is based upon spiritual birth, is not of your own, it is entirely a work of God. Just as our natural birth was entirely out of our achievement, it was done for us, the same thing with the spiritual birth. It is something that is done for us and not by us. And so what the Lord said to him in verse 3, look how he answered to Nicodemus. It's beautiful. He said in verse 3, Yeshua, Jesus answered and said unto him, that is unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, or in Hebrew, amen, amen, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now notice, brothers and sisters and dear friend, the Lord is speaking about a kingdom that belongs to God. Let me remind you, a beloved friend, that God had promised to his people Israel of a kingdom that will come, that he will establish a kingdom which will have no end. Daniel have received this insight from God that there will be a day coming where there will be a kingdom that will be established upon the face of this earth, even though Israel was dispersed. That there will be a kingdom that there will be no end, where God will be the one that will rule and reign here in this world. This is so beautiful to see the promises of God to the people of Israel of a future messianic kingdom. God has promised. It says in Daniel chapter 2, in the day of these kings, shall the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, no other nations. But it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is the promise, a kingdom that God had promised to the nation of Israel when the Messiah will be acknowledged as the king, and he will be the one that will ultimately establish the future promise of the Messianic kingdom. This is beautiful because it was promised to the nation of Israel. Notice just one more verse in Daniel chapter 7. And I saw verse 13 in the night vision. And behold, one like unto the Son of Man came with a cloud of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Day, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him, this is the Son of Man, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of Man, there was given to him dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. So there was a promise of a kingdom, and the Lord, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, says to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is the statement that Yeshua said to Nicodemus. Now remember, he used this expression, born again. You remember, beloved brothers and sisters, we have already read this in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. We are in the third chapter, but you remember in the first chapter, we read already concerning the new birth, to be born from God, born of God. In John chapter 1, we read in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. But of God. Born of God. So notice, the Lord's response to Nicodemus, and he said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus, remember, he is a ruler of the people of Israel. He is a rabbi of rabbis. He is a rabban. He is the ruler of the Jews. He is a teacher in Israel. And you can see he should have known that the new birth that Israel as a nation will enter eventually and become a born-again nation. A nation shall be born in a day, as the prophets of Israel declared. But Nicodemus said unto him, notice in verse 4, he responded, he says, how can a man be born? Notice, and he adds something that is very important for us to read. Don't forget it. How can a man be born, but he adds, when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, if I will write this text, or if I would respond to the Lord, I would forget about the word when he's old. I would say it like this. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? But Nicodemus add the words, when he is old. In Hebrew, the word keshehu zaken, or keshehu mevugar. In verse 4, it says, ech yuchal leivaled vehu zaken. and he's old. Now let me ask you a question. Can a baby who is only 1 day old can be born again physically? Go back to his mother's womb? It's not possible. Can a baby who is 1 year old enter back into his mother's womb and be born again? It's not possible. Can a baby who will be 3 years old enter back into his mother's womb and be born again? It's not possible. What about even a young teenager, 15 years old, can he enter into his mother's womb and be born again? It's impossible. What about if somebody is 30 years old? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born again? It's not possible. Why do you think Nicodemus added the word when he is old? Here it is so important. It's not that Nicodemus didn't hear or didn't know about this expression being born again. He, in Jewish culture, among the Pharisees, among the ancients of Israel, the word born again, lehivaled mechadash, became something that was common to give to those that have gone through various stages in their lives. When a goy or a Gentile became a Jew, he was converted to a Judaism, became a proselyte, he was considered to be born again. When a person, a king, like in the line of David, became a king, he was considered in the Jewish world to be one who was born again. And we can go on. When a person got married, he was considered to be born again. When a person became a rabbi, an ordained rabbi, he was considered to be born again. And when he became a rabbi of rabbis, like Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, he had gone through a higher stage to be called born again. This was a lehivaled mechadash, was part of the expression that among the conservative, the religious Jewish people of Israel was part of understanding the certain stages that one goes through, and that every one of these stages he was called born again. Well, Nicodemus was already, you might say, a rabbi. He was born again. He was a teacher in Israel, a rabban, you might say, teaching in the school of the rabbis. And he'd gone through all the stages. He was a married man, and so on. He had gone through all the stages. That's why he added the word when he is old. In other words, what he's really saying to Yeshua, I have already have gone through all the stages of being born again. And can I now go back and go over all these stages? Can a man enter now the second time into his mother's womb and being born, and now, in other words, go through all the stages? I was born already of a woman. I have had all the process whereby I receive all these, you might say, titles of being born again. Lehivaled michadash. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he knew very well what he or what the Pharisees have taught concerning being born again. But the Lord had to remind Nicodemus that to be born again is not only the physical things that you have accomplished here in this world, that you gotta come to the end of yourself and all the stages that you have gone through, and you became an old man. You have already have gone through all these positions that you have achieved here in this world. You must be born not in the natural here in this world, not in the achievement that you have accomplished here in this world, but you gotta be born of the Spirit of God. And that's why you notice, dear brothers and sisters, after Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? The Lord gave him another answer, and he said to him, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born. And here you notice, he is now explaining in verses 5 and 6 the importance of the spirit birth rather than the natural birth. Not the natural birth and all what you achieved here in this world will bring you this salvation. No, but it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit of God. So, and I'm reading verse 5 and 6, beloved friend. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You notice how the Lord is now directing the attention of Nicodemus away from all his achievement that he had achieved in his life until he became an old man. All his achievement is not that to which bring him into assurance of salvation. The work of salvation, the work of entering into the kingdom of God comes on the basis of the work of the Spirit of God producing this in the heart of the one that will believe in Yeshua. And so, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is a spirit. Now, the importance of spirit birth, being born of water, really represent before us, according to Scripture, the water of the Word of God. The Scripture oftentimes is presented before us as the Word of God. You will notice that, beloved brothers and sisters, that the word water oftentimes is being used in Scripture to represent before us the Word of God. Let me show you a verse. For example, in Ephesians chapter 5, we do read the instruction that the Apostle Paul gave to the husbands and the wives. For example, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 25, Paul, Shaul, said, "Husbands, love your wife, even as the Messiah also loved the church, the assembly, and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the word." You notice that the washing of the water by the word. This is the word of God. The word of God is cleansing the person. He's speaking to the person. So it is so important to recognize that when the Lord is speaking about the water, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You remember we read in Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As I'm preaching the Word of God in this ministry meeting today, it is the Word of God which is powerful, which is sharper than two-edged sword. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, Romans 10 and verse 17, Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 26, the new birth is coming through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, it's not, some people suggest that it is the water baptism, but it is not correct, because water baptism, when a person is a believer already, and then he is going through the water baptism, the water, the physical water, is not what saves him, is not that which allow him to see or to enter into the kingdom of God. No, but the water represent the Word of God. And this is important for us to understand. There is a verse that is found in the, continuing the New Testament. You notice what it says in James, Yaakov, chapter 1, verse 18. "Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature, or his creation. Notice, of his own will he beget us, notice, with the word of truth. God beget us using the word of truth. This is very, very important to understand. It is not through the physical water, but the water here representing the word of God. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 these words, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So Peter said that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, and that incorruptible seed is the word of God. So when Yeshua is speaking unto Nicodemus, who is the ruler of the Jews, he should have known that the new birth comes not based upon his achievement and the arrival to become an old man, that he have gone through all the stages in the Jewish culture was considered to be born again. No, all these stages that you have accomplished among the people of Israel or any nation, all the achievements that we have achieved as human beings in this world will never avail for to enter into the kingdom of God. And why? Simply because we are sinners. We have inherited a sin nature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We have a sinful flesh, beloved friend. We have sinned, and we have inherited a sin nature. And that's the reason why God the Son as man had to enter into this world and to pay for our sins when he died for us on the tree. That's why all achievements here in this world do not avail to cause us to enter into a relationship with God, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You know, beloved friend, in the future day, when our people Israel as a nation will be restored into a relationship with the Lord, you know what they're going to say? Look what they're going to say. Isaiah predicted this in chapter 64 and verse 5 and 6. Thou meetest him that rejoices and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuous, and we shall be saved. But, Israel will say in the future day, Isaiah 64 verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rag, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Israel as a nation will acknowledge and realize that they have sinned, and all our achievement, all our righteousnesses, O God, are considered before thee as a filthy rag. That is when Israel will accept the Messiah at his second coming. But at the first coming of the Mashiach, the Pharisees, the Sadducees did not accept Yeshua the Messiah and rejected him from being the Messiah. And that's why, beloved brother and sisters, Nicodemus came to him by night, in a sense to know more about him, and eventually Nicodemus became a child of God. And so it is precious. Notice, he continues, he says, except a man be born of water, this is the word of God, and of the Spirit. You notice, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the person that give one new birth. John 6, we read in verse 63, we read, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, but the flesh profit nothing." Yeshua later on said to our people of Israel as he was presenting himself as the Messiah. And you and I know very well, beloved friends, that you and I also, we were born of the Spirit of God. You remember what the Apostle Shaul Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Shaul Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 9, he says to the believers at Rome, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And so, beloved friend, it is so important to understand that one must be born of the Holy Spirit of God. Shaul Paul said it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized or put into one body, whether we be Jewish or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit." The word for Spirit in Hebrew is Ruach. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that brought us, caused us to enter into that relationship with the Lord. And so how wonderful that the Lord Yeshua is explaining to Nicodemus in verses 5 and 6. He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And then notice verse 7, "As a teacher that illustrate the natural birth and apply it to the spiritual birth, he said unto Nicodemus in verse 7, Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." And my dear friend, if you are not born of the Holy Spirit of God, there is no way that you can enter into a relationship with the Lord Yeshua Jesus the Messiah. You must accept the Lord Jesus the Messiah as your Lord and Savior and be born of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God who is the one that work in our hearts and pricked our heart in speaking to us and bring us to the Lord Himself. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul said to Titus, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy." He, that is God, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God used His Holy Spirit to regenerate us, to give us new birth, to give us new life in order that we will see and that we will enter into the kingdom of God, into Malchut HaElohim. So in the first 7 verses, beloved friend, the Lord Jesus the Messiah as a teacher presenting to Nicodemus the way of salvation, illustrating it through the necessity to be born, this new birth, be born of the Spirit of God. But he doesn't stop here, beloved friend, as he speaks to Nicodemus. Yeshua continues in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. And in these verses, he is explaining the wind, and using the wind to represent the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice how beautiful. He illustrates the work of the Holy Spirit of God as the wind, the ruach, the physical wind become an illustration for the spiritual work of the person of the Holy Spirit of God. In Hebrew, the word wind and the word spirit is the same word. When you say ruach, you speak about the physical wind that we have every time when the wind passes through the streets. When you speak about the Spirit of God, you use the very same word, ruach, like we have it in Genesis chapter 1, in the first verses of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is Genesis 1, verse 1. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, Ruach Elohim, moved upon the face of the water. Notice that he used the very same word, Ruach and Ruach, Spirit and Spirit. And so in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, he is telling Nicodemus, illustrating the way the Spirit of God works. And let me present this before you, very important. He says to Nicodemus in verse 8 to 13, the wind blows where it listeth, where it desires. And you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, just the same like you see the wind, or you hear the wind, and the only way that you know that it is windy outside is by the movement of the trees. If the trees move from north to south, you see the wind come from the north towards the south. If it goes from the east to west, you see the trees moving in that direction. Well, the wind is moving from one direction to another. You don't see the wind, but you see the effect that the wind causes. It causes the leaves to come down from the tree. It caused the trees to move from one direction to another. There is an effect that the natural wind causes here in this world. So he said, in the same way that the wind blows, and in one way or another, you only hear the sound, but you don't see it. So is everyone that is born of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when a person is truly born of the Spirit, there's a change in his life. There's a change in her life. Why? Because God the Spirit have entered into the believer and produced a change in his or her life. The desires are different. The appetite is different. They want to live for God. They want to follow Yeshua the Messiah. They want to speak about Him. They want to read the Word of God. They want to pray to the living God. There's a change because the work of the Spirit of God was in one person's heart. You remember the day when you accepted Yeshua? How all of a sudden the Spirit of God, it moved your heart and you were broken before the Lord? And you acknowledge that you are a sinner and you need a Savior? And then the Spirit of God changed your desires. Now you want to live for God. You want to live for the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. You remember those days, my dear friend? What a wonderful day it was. And every day in your life and my life today, the Spirit of God is speaking to us and moving us with a desire to live for God. He continued in this next verse, and Nicodemus said to him, he answered and he said, how can these things be? Well, beloved brothers and sisters, Nicodemus should know how these things be because he was a teacher in Israel. You remember what the Lord said to Israel through the prophet Yehezkel? In Ezekiel chapter 36, you remember what God said to Israel? That Israel one day will be born of the Spirit of God? You remember what God says? Ezekiel 36 verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Here God used the water. This is the water of the Word, but in connection with the Holy Spirit of God. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Notice verse 26 of Ezekiel chapter 36. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit, my ruach, within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Beloved brothers and sisters, Nicodemus should have known this as a ruler of the Jewish people. But you see, when time passes by and the departure occurs in the history of our people of Israel, departure from the ABC of the Word of God, and instead of teaching biblical teaching, it became more rabbinical with human opinion, with human views, and it got further and further and further. And Nicodemus asking in verse 9, he says to the Lord Yeshua, how can these things be? Well, beloved friends, notice what the answer of the Lord Jesus was to Nicodemus. Jesus, Yeshua, answered and said unto him, art thou a master or a teacher or a rabbi in Israel, a rabbi of Israel, and knowest not these things? Nicodemus, you are Rabban, you are ruler of the Jewish people. You are a teacher in Israel, and knowest not these things? Notice he continue, and with this we're going to close this ministry meeting. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. Ye and ye receive not our witness, Yeshua is saying to Nicodemus. He continued, for if I have told you earthly thing, and ye believe not, notice how important it is to believe the truth of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is speaking to Nicodemus. If I told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? Notice that if you don't believe these things, these are natural things that you know, earthly things. I'm using the illustration of the birth. I'm using the illustration of the wind. If I'm teaching you these things to show you spiritual things, if you don't believe these things, how can you believe if I'll tell you heavenly things? Now notice, he used the word we speak, that we do know, and testify that which we have seen. Who is the we? Well, you notice that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is identifying, it's so beautiful, with the people that had followed after him. Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. And yet Yeshua tell him, we speak the things that we know and we testify what we have seen. In other words, he identified with those from Israel that have already trusted him and believe in him. Like, for example, in chapter 1, Netanel, who said in chapter 1 and verse 49, Netanel answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And you notice how Yeshua is saying to Nicodemus, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe if I'll tell you heavenly things? And now, in this verse 13, Yeshua pointed to the fact that he came from heaven. Notice verse 13, and this is a very beautiful verse. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Notice what Yeshua is saying here to Nicodemus, that no one have gone to heaven except the one that came down from heaven. And who is the one that came down from heaven? Even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Notice that he used this expression, the Son of Man. The Son of Man. You remember that the same thing he used at the end of chapter 1 where he said to Netanel in verse 51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Yeshua called himself many times in the Gospel, Son of Man. It is the Hebrew word Ben Adam, which is taken from the book of Daniel, where Daniel has seen one like unto the Ben Adam. It's a messianic title. And here, the Lord himself showing to Nicodemus that he was the one that descended from heaven and ascended to heaven. In other words, he is the creator God who entered into this world. No man has ascended up to heaven. No one. But only the one that first of all came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now I find it fascinating. This is why we have many times hard time to distinguish between the Lord Yeshua as God the Son in His divine nature and Him also as the man in His human nature. You notice that it says here that He is the Son of Man which is in heaven. At the same time that He is on earth, He is also in heaven. How can that be? Well, it can only be because of who He is. He is God. He is God the Son. He is the Eternal One. But He entered into this world and became a man, and now as man He is on the face of this earth, but He never stopped to be Eternal God, the Eternal Son. So, it is, in a sense, it is beyond us, my dear friend. It's beyond us. We can't comprehend it, yet it is so true because the Scripture teaches us. Notice in chapter 1, in verse 18, what we read. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is, notice, in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Well, He is here on earth, but at the same time, He is in the bosom of the Father. John 1, verse 18. The same thing in John chapter 3. He is here speaking to Nicodemus in chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. But He is telling Nicodemus, Nicodemon, no man ascended up to heaven, but He that first of all came down from heaven. In other words, I came down from heaven, and then He said, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now this is fascinating, beloved brothers and sisters. Ben Ha'adam. Ben Ha'adam. The first time you find the expression Adam is in chapter 1 when God created men. Adam. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them on the sixth day. But in chapter 3 of Genesis, Adam became, you might say, plunged the whole human race into sin. And he lost the title deed to this world. He lost the privilege of ruling and having dominion over this world because he became a sinner. Him and Chava, his wife, and they plunged the whole human race into sin. So one had to come from heaven. The man from heaven had to come. The Messiah himself, God the Son, had to enter into this world and become the Son of Man, as Daniel 7:13 present this before us. And if you read throughout the New Testament, the Brit HaChadashah, you will find it again and again in Matthew 8:20, Matthew 9:6, Matthew 10:23, and it go on and go on. Matthew 11:19, 12:8, and so on, 12:32, 12:40, 30:37, and 41, 16:13, and again, Yeshua called Himself the Son of Man, Ben Ha'adam. Why? Because He became a man. He became a man, as John 1:14 said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is our beloved Messiah, my dear friend. He is called Ben Ha'adam, the Son of Man. But he was sinless one. He was born of the Virgin Miriam. He is the Emmanuel that came into this world to provide redemption for mankind. He came from heaven, and he was the one that now became the one that was the perfect man who was on the way to die on the cross for the sin of this world. Now I want to read the final verses for this ministry meeting in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 to 4. The words of Agur, the son of Yakeh, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Itiel, even unto Itiel and Ukal. He said, surely I am more brutish than any man, and I have not the understanding of men. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. But then I have a question for you, Itiel and Ukal. In verse 4, he is asking, Agur asking, and he said, who has ascended up to heaven or descended? Well, it's God. Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Well, this is God. Who has bound the waters in a garment? This is God. Who has established all the ends of the earth? The answer, of course, is God. What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou can tell, Jehovah, Yahweh, that's the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What is his name? And what is his son's name? And you shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. He is the Emmanuel who became a man. God became a man. And praise God, he is giving to Nicodemus these two illustrations of the new birth, and to you and I, my dear friend, today. The salvation of mankind must be based upon being born of the Holy Spirit of God. It is only when a person have accepted the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and become born of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, he cannot see the kingdom of God, he or she, and he or she cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, Yeshua said, you must be born from above, be born of the Spirit, be born again. May God bless you, my dear friend, and may you turn your heart to the person of Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, and become born from above, born again, born of the Spirit of God. Well, God bless you, and shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.